The world is loud. You know this. A constant hum of voices and opinions fill every moment until it is difficult to even hear one's own thoughts. But every once in a while, a voice cuts through the chatter. At certain times and places, someone is moved to become like a voice in the wilderness that speaks boldly for change, to say something different that rocks a nation, that shakes a generation to its core, that changes the trajectory of history. When those words are spoken, they say something that changes the world around them. And for a brief moment, the world is shockingly silent. These are mic drop moments.
Well, good morning, everybody. My name is Andrew Wormelskirchen. I go by Worm. I'm the pastor to children and their families, which means that I'm over birth through sixth grade, which includes our confirmation program, and I'm really, really excited to be here today. The past few weeks, we've been in this series called Drop the Mic, where we have these profound moments where certain people say certain things, and it's just like a drop the mic moment. I think a drop the mic moments of like in rap battles, like after they get done rapping against somebody, just boom, drop the mic. I don't know if you've ever had one of these or actually seen a drop the mic moment before in your life, but I was a middle school pastor for several years. And in this room over here is this youth basement. We had a programming called Thrive. It's the Sunday morning programming. And near the end of the year, what we'd have our eighth graders do is we'd have our eighth graders give this talk of some advice and things that they learned in their middle school year and give it to the seventh graders so that they could raise up the next leaders in the program. And so whenever there's this kid that came into his eighth grade year, he came up to me. He said, Worm, I want to talk at the end of the year. And I'm like, bro, let's get through this year first. He's like, no, I really want to do this, and then I want to drop the mic. Like, he was already telling me that he was going to do this. And I was like, okay, whatever. So we get to the end of the year. He wants the volunteer to do this. And sure enough, he goes up there, okay? And he told me that morning that he's going to drop the mic. And I didn't know if it was, like, metaphorical or, like, literal. But middle schoolers, right? So you got to take them, like, literal sometimes. So my heart is, like, pounding out of my chest. He gets done, and you guys, he takes the microphone, drops it, and with a collective gasp in the room, it just drops, and he walks off the stage. And I was like, that microphone costs like $1,000. Like, I don't know if it works anymore. These mic drop moments, these things where people say profound things, and they just drop the mic and walk away. And we've been looking at it through the lens of prophets, where prophets of the Old Testament, where these prophets, where all that they are, they listen from God, they hear a word from God, and they go say things for God. And whenever they go say things for God, they say it. Andrew Beard said it a few weeks ago, that they may say it to a group of people that don't want to hear it, and they're going to say something that they don't want to say to a place that they don't want to go. And I can't help but think about the listeners of these messages too, right? You think about the listeners of these messages. If anybody ever said anything to you that you like don't understand, or it's really hard for you to understand, because learning things or hearing something, there may be a little pain in that. Like, let me give an example, okay? Growing up, one of you first started to learn about math, right? It was a little hard to, you know, get at first, right? To understand that 1 + 1, you got addition and you got subtraction, and then you throw multiplication in there. Maybe reading, even reading the words, I mean, trying to figure out what that's like, right? Let me give another example. Like trying to understand relationships and how they work, and like it goes both ways and what that means for us. There's a little pain in trying to figure that out, right, too. Somebody was trying to explain hedge funds to me the other day. Is it real money? Like, I don't understand. Like, is it? I just don't understand. And there's a lot of pain in that. But then you wake up on a day like this, right? Where something happens in El Paso, Texas, where people literally lost their lives, and something happened in Dayton, and somebody won't get to take a breath this morning. And there's a lot of pain in that. And can I just be vulnerable for a second? I'm a pastor to birth through sixth grade, and I don't know how to explain that to them. And if you're a parent, how do you explain that to your children? And if you're a friend, like we're in Texas, right? There are people that may know people that have been affected by this in El Paso. How do you talk to them about that? And listen, there's a lot of pain in that. Because we all come here every single week and we try to figure out a little bit more about our faith. And it's hard for us to understand that. And there's a lot of pain in that. And I don't know about you, but it just hurts sometimes to understand that. I know this is a heavy moment, and I got a lot of really good things to say, but what I want to do is I want to pray for us in our morning, and then we'll get going. So let me pray for us. God, this morning, as we continue on, God, I just ask that you're with us. That in the pain of trying to understand things and the pain of trying to grasp just the nature of this life in our faith, God, that you are with us. That through everything that we feel today, that you just are with us. So with the confidence of your grace and the bravery of the love that you've offered us, God, we just pray this amen of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So there's pain and understanding, right? And this hasn't been something that's like new to us. This has been going on for several thousands of years. I mean, we read in the Bible, there's story after story in the Bible of people trying to understand certain things. And if you grew up in the church, you may know about this guy named Jonah, right? Jonah had a crazy story, and I want to pick up in the story of Jonah. And so in Jonah chapter 1, verse 1, it says this. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, saying, go at once to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Now, it doesn't say a lot about the wickedness. It doesn't say a lot about it. Maybe there's murdering. Maybe there's stealing. Maybe there's a lot of unrest. We don't know a lot of that information. It just says that there's wickedness here. Verse 3, it says this, but Jonah set out to flee to Tarshish. What a tongue twister of a city, right? From the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid his fare, went on board to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. And so in the first three verses, we see that Jonah receives this word and God wants Jonah to go do something, to go to Nineveh. So what does Jonah do? Jonah doesn't do that. Jonah hops on this boat, and if you grew up in the church, you know a little bit more about Jonah's story, right? That whenever he hops on this boat, there's this storm that happens. It says that there are waves crashing up against this, and the sailors were scared. Jonah was a little bit scared too. And they realized the only way that this storm was going to cease is if they threw Jonah overboard. So they threw Jonah overboard. The sea ceased, and the storm ceased. And then what happens? Jonah gets eaten by this big fish. And Jonah's in this big fish for 3 days and three nights. Talk about pain and understanding how somebody survives being in the belly of a fish for 3 days and three nights, right? And then Jonah prays. He has this prayer of thanksgiving to God. And then the fish throws Jonah up. He goes on dry land. And then it says in Jonah 3 that there's this thing that God says a second time. So let's go to Jonah 3, verse 1. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, get up, go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim the message that I tell you. So Jonah set out and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Verse 4, so Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's walk. He cried out, 40 days more, Nineveh shall be overthrown. So that was the message, 40 more days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So then what happens? It says here in verse 5, and the people of Nineveh believed God. Don't you wish sometimes you could just say one sentence to somebody and they just completely believe you? I mean, there was a lot of wickedness going on in Nineveh. There's all these people doing this wickedness, whatever that was. And so Jonah said this thing that God told him to say, and the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast, and everyone, great and small, put on a sackcloth. You know what a sackcloth is? It's like a potato sack. You know, whenever you went to the carnival and you'd put your legs in these things and you'd do a potato sack race? Well, in these moments, what they would do is they put on this sackcloth as a symbolism for repentance so that everybody could see that you are repenting against somebody. Could you imagine if we still did that today? You go into your work and somebody's like, oh, you got a sackcloth on, what you're repenting against? Just gossiping about you, repenting against that. I mean, just imagine being a symbol, actually showing people that you are repenting. And then something weird happens with Jonah. You see, after everything that happened with Jonah, after God gave him this message, after he didn't want to go do that, after he didn't want to go to Nineveh, he fled to Tarshish, he got on this boat, there was this big storm, he got eaten by this fish, he got threw up by this fish. God gave him a word a second time, and then he actually went to Nineveh, and the people actually listened. That's the thing, the people actually listened. And then Jonah, if you know anything about Jonah, this is where Jonah's story gets really weird. Because Jonah gets angry. Jonah gets angry because he couldn't understand why God would extend the grace to these people. Jonah wanted these people to be punished. Jonah just couldn't understand and couldn't understand why God would do such a thing like that. Has ever happened in your life before where you're praying that something would go your way and it actually goes a different way? Especially in your faith where God like gives you something and then God decides to do something else in your life? I mean, this is exactly what Jonah was feeling in this moment. This pain in understanding what was going on. A few weeks ago, I grabbed lunch with a father in our kids' ministry on the first floor. And as we were talking, he just wanted to grab lunch to give me some feedback about our kids' ministry and ask me questions about what we were doing. And so we had a great conversation. It led really well. And he then told me some feedback about our curriculum. And then he asked me some questions about why we do the things that we do with our curriculum. And I told him. And then that led to some questions about how he had some questions about his faith. And then he told me what he was doing in his faith. That he started to read the Bible a little bit more, and he started to read some books, and he started to listen to some podcasts. And it was this really delicate and vulnerable moment that he had with me. Because there's not a lot of people that would ask me this question, and then at the end, or tell me these things, and at the end, he asked me this question. He said, "So Worm, like I'm doing all this, what do I do now?" And isn't that just the perfect question? What do I do now? Like, what do I do with all this stuff that I'm trying to learn? What am I trying to do with all this stuff that I'm trying to understand about my faith? And I said, you got to keep going. You got to keep having conversations with people. You can't just stop. You got to keep going. And I didn't know if that satisfied him or not. And I didn't know if that would satisfy us. And so I walked away from there and I thought to myself, I started to compare the faith that he had to the faith of a child. And I realized that there's a big difference between a faith of an adult and a faith of a child. Because I think that every single child has a superpower that we lose as an adult. You know what that superpower is? Curiosity. Have you ever had a conversation with a curious kid before? Why is the sky blue? Well, there's atmosphere. Why? Why is the grass green? Why? I mean, think about it. Have you ever had a conversation with a curious kid before? I mean, just think about all the curious things that children have. I was having a conversation with a pastor in our church, and she's telling me that she had a 20-minute long conversation with her kindergartner, and it all started from the curiosity of how many steps that it takes to get from the bottom to the top of the Lincoln Memorial. Like, we as people, we just know it's just logic. Whenever you get to the top, you're there, and why do we have to know how many steps it takes to get there? I mean, just think if Jonah took a little bit of the curiosity he had as a child into what God was doing in his life then. Think about all the things that God could have already done. Maybe if he would have leaned into that and been curious about what God was doing, he would have just been a little bit more open to what God was doing. He wouldn't have gone down this road to be on a storm, to be in the belly of a fish, if he would have just gone and just see what God was doing. Yes, he has questions. Yes, we get curious about our faith sometimes. Yes, there's all these things that we may not understand along the way. But listen, if we're with people and we have the opportunity to be with people and to ask questions together, man, isn't that a beautiful and a gorgeous thing of the curiosity of a child? And if we reclaim that, listen, if you don't listen to anything else I say today, I just want you to listen to this, that I want you to reclaim your superpower of curiosity. Can you tell that to a friend next to you? Say, reclaim your superpower of curiosity. Say that. Okay, now say it to somebody else. Say it to somebody else. Reclaim your superpower of curiosity. Okay, Now that you practice twice, say it one more time to somebody and say it like you really mean it, okay? Reclaim your superpower of curiosity. Okay. Now, I'm not the only one that's telling you to do this. People around you are telling you to do this too. This is why it is so important for us to be in conversation with each other. Listen, there's story after story that I still have questions about. I went to seminary, and there's still a lot of things that I don't understand about theology and about the Bible and about the world. But listen, if we just get a little bit curious about what God is doing in our life, to strip down all the fear, all the doubts, that question may lead to another question and may lead to another question, which may lead to a doubt. But listen, that's okay. And let's just be in it together. I'm going to end with a story, and then I'm going to challenge you to do something as well. So here's the story that I want to say. So back in the spring, I was on the second floor in our kindergarten room. And whenever I go into the kindergarten room, it was there during the 11 o'clock hour, and there was like tons of kids everywhere. I mean, snot coming out of noses and blocks all over the ground. And there's this period of time where whenever you go in, you check the kid in, and then there's about 10 minutes where we have to wait for everybody else to come in. And so we, as volunteers and teachers, what we do is we play with them. So we build blocks, or we color, or we run around the room, whatever that is. And so that morning, I just happened to be playing tic-tac-toe with some kids, which also, by the way, kindergartners are really good at tic-tac-toe. And it made me feel really bad about my tic-tac-toe knowledge. And I was playing with all these kids, and I was losing game after game. And then there was this kid next to me. He taps me on the shoulder, and he goes, "Worm, look what I built." And I want to show you. This is what he built. I took a picture of it. He said, "Look, Worm, I built the church." I was like, "That is so awesome, buddy." And then he showed me the part in the back. He said, "That's the sanctuary." And the part in the front, he said, "Look, that's the room that we're in. We're in the kindergarten room." Which I thought was so cute that they were just like right next to each other. And then he said something to me that I didn't think he would say. He said, "But Worm, don't judge me." And I said, "Buddy, why would I judge you?" He said, "I just really like to build with blocks." And it hit me that somebody at some point in his life had told him that building blocks was weird, or that he was weird because he thought a certain way, or that he expressed his mind in a certain way. And I said, "Buddy, look, I'm not judging you. This is so great." And I stuck with him for the rest of the morning, and I realized that he didn't just have questions about what he was doing in life and building blocks and all the stuff. Like every once in a while, he'd lean over and we were learning this lesson about Moses, and he'd ask me all these questions about Moses, and I'd tell him, and he's just a curious kid. And I realized that if we don't have people that are pouring into the next generation, that are investing into the next generation, then there will be kids that will just sit there and writhe in that pain of trying to understand the things that they are keeping in. You see, every single child has a superpower of curiosity. We as adults have this responsibility to help them explore that curiosity. And every single Sunday, whenever they come in here to this place to learn a little bit more about the love and the light of God, we have a responsibility to help share that with them. Now, I know we can't be here every single Sunday, and I know that this may not be something for you, but I'm just going to challenge you to think about it. Elizabeth said this before, but there's a booth up there on the second floor, and we're recruiting for volunteers for children's and for youth ministry. If you have any interest at all, you don't have to make a commitment right now, but if you have any interest at all, I would love for you just to go up there and just get some more information. Because here's the deal. You were once a child. And you had that superpower of curiosity. Listen, I'm trying to get back my superpower of curiosity. It is really difficult to get it back. You know why? Because there's this thing called responsibility and bills and taxes in concrete, in things that are like hard to really get through. But let's be a group of people, whether it's not with the children's ministry or the youth ministry, maybe it's somebody down the hallway in our office. Maybe it's our next door neighbor. Maybe there's a conversation that you've been waiting to have with somebody and you just don't know how to do it. And so you just say, hey, let's just have this because I'm curious of where this can go. Maybe there's a relationship that you're trying to mend right now and you don't know what's gonna happen. And so you just get vulnerable and you just say, listen, let's just do this. Let's try to figure this out. Be curious and be curious what God can do in your life. Because here's the thing, there's a lot of things that God can do in our lives and there's a lot of boxes that we put around that. So let's be a group of people that reclaim our superpower of curiosity and see where God takes us. In a world where there's a lot of pain and where there's a lot of understanding or trying to understand it, let's be a group of people that reclaim our superpower of curiosity. So let me pray for us. God, this morning, we ask that you're with us, that as we walk through these doors, that we can just see what it looks like for us to just be a little bit curious about what you're doing in our lives. God, through this story of Jonah, help us carry this story and figure out what is going on in this world and what's going on in our faith. But God, most of all, just help us be curious about it. Because God, we know that sometimes we can doubt. We know that sometimes we can fall short and make mistakes. But God, we just ask that you help us be curious about what you're doing in our lives. So God, with the confidence of your grace and the bravery of your love, we pray this in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.